Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. You know, we think we live in a new generation. They're always saying things on TV. I don't know what that means about Generation X and all these other ones. And they're always coming up with new names for new generations. But we know the Bible teaches us that we're living in the last days. That's the days we're living in. But it also mentions here in Matthew 24 something interesting about living in the days of Noah. And Matthew 24, and starting in verse number 37, it tells us that, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I want to know those days, because I'm expecting my Lord to come back any moment. And if he's saying here that we are living in those days, the days of Noah, and knowing what was going on, we need to understand how that relates to us. And are we ready for the return of our Lord? I think we can be if we understand what the Lord's telling us here about the days of Noah. So knowing that, we're going to look at a few different scriptures. I'm just going to read them to you. You can jot them down and look them over later. So the first one we realize is in Genesis chapter 13, tells us about the promises that were in the days of Noah. Genesis 6:13 says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God makes a promise that he will destroy. And anytime God makes a promise, it comes to pass. Whatever he says always comes true. He does not lie. And he told Noah that because of the violence that was going on, the men were causing on the earth, he was going to destroy all flesh, not only humans, but all flesh, everything that was created. He was going to destroy it. And he made a promise to Noah that it was going to come to pass. But God, being a God of love and realizing that he wants to save as many as will come unto him, verse number 18 says, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. God makes another promise that he will save. Now, if you go up, I forgot what state it is, it's Kentucky or somewhere up in that area, they just finished a replica of the actual size of the ark. Now, if you've seen pictures of it, or you've seen the dimensions of it, or you've seen, if you've been out there or go out there sometime, you'll realize that thing was humongous. It was this huge boat, huge ship. And you look at men to the size of that thing, and they're about this big, and that thing's about like that big. It was humongous. I said, why would God have Noah make such a humongous thing to save eight people? He could have just sent a little dinghy over there. That would have been enough. Because God wanted all flesh to be saved. But he knows in his wisdom that people have a heart sometimes that will not change. And he makes a promise here and says God will destroy. In the days of Noah, God promises destruction, but he also promises salvation. We also see some preparations in the days of Noah. God provided what was needed. He gave Noah the intelligence and the ability to make this thing. They never had a boat before. Never had a ship before. Why? Because it never rained before. The dew, it says in the Bible, used to come out from the earth. It didn't run down from heaven. It didn't come down from the clouds. They didn't know what rain was. No one needed a boat. God gave them the dimensions of this ark so it would float right. And God provided all the materials and everything that was going to need it. He was making preparations for his promise to come to pass. But we also know that Noah followed the command of God. When you look in Genesis 6 and verse 22, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, if God told you to do something, it didn't make any sense, you ought to just do it anyway. Noah didn't know what a boat was, didn't know what he was building, didn't realize how big it was going to be until he started putting it together. And he didn't question God on why he was doing what he's doing, or why was he going to destroy all flesh? Why was he going to bring the rains? Why did I have to spend over 100 years building this thing? Why do I have to waste my time and all this? He didn't question it. He just did what the Lord said. Noah made those preparations that God's promises would come to pass. He knew that. And in the days of Noah, there was not only promises and preparations, but we see also that there was preaching going on. You see, in 2 Peter 2:5, it says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." We see that God offers warnings to the people through his man of God, through his preacher Noah. For over 100 years, he was preaching a message that all flesh was going to be destroyed. God was going to bring destruction. And there is only one way out: through the ark. There is no other way to save your life. You have to come into the ark. That's what he preached over and over and over again. Many people did not believe. All but 8 were saved. No one wanted to follow God's way. They wanted to do it their own way. Oh, God's not going to do that. He loves all people. God's not going to destroy everybody. I have my own religion. I have my own way of thinking of things. I don't need to go in the ark. If it starts to rain, I'll just get one of these twigs and this branch, and I'll just kind of put it over my head. We'll be fine. Everybody thinks there's another way. God offers a way for everybody to be rescued, everybody to be saved, every life to be saved, but it's his way only. We find that true in the Bible everywhere. It's only God's way, not our way, not what we want. But we see that in Noah's day, there was preaching, there was warnings going on by Noah that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. But we also see there was a work going on. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith." You know, every time Noah put a nail in that ark, every time he hammered, every time he put another board up, every time he put another wall up, he was bringing condemnation to the world because he was showing them that God has a way out for you. This is your only way. I've been telling you this years after years. And every time he puts another nail in there, it says in the Bible, when he was preparing that, he condemned the world because he knew when he finished that thing, the rains were going to come. That God wasn't going to bring the rains until he was done. It was exactly what God promised, exactly what God said. In the days of Noah, God makes some promises that come to pass. In the days of Noah, there's preparations that need to be made, but there's preaching going on of warning and also a work that continues to move forward, even though we know God's going to destroy all flesh. But then there's patience. Praise God for patience. In the days of Noah, there was patience. In 1 Peter 3:20, it says, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." God waited. God had patience. God told Noah, "I'm going to destroy all flesh." He tells him why he's going to destroy all flesh. He tells him how he's going to save everybody. It tells him what Noah needs to do. He tells you, "I got a work for you to do. I want you to preach. I want you to build this thing. And when you're done, that's when it's going to come to pass." God knew exactly when it was going to come to pass. He wasn't going to rush the effort. God was patient. He wanted everybody to have an opportunity to hear the truth, be saved, and enter that ark. That's what God wanted. He was very patient, waited over and over, years after years, until Noah finally finished. In the days of Noah, there was patience, but we see some faithfulness too on Noah's part. You know, Noah didn't quit the work. It says here, he continued the work. He continued to do the work day after day, year after year. Was it easy? No. Was it difficult? Yes. Did he understand what he's doing? Probably not. But he did it anyway because he knew it was God's work. You know, our preacher this morning was talking about that in Sunday school, about he didn't know where he was going to go. He didn't know exactly what God would have him do. And then God started filling in the blanks. When he gets there, he's probably still not going to know what's going to go. He's going to go, still going to be a little different than he's expecting now. But do you just give up and quit? Oh, God, you didn't tell me everything. Forget that. I'm not going to do it. No, you just continue on with the work. Even though you know what the outcome's going to be, you continue to do the work of God. Because that's what he commanded us to do. Noah stayed faithful. But in the days of Noah, we see some performance as well. You know, God always performs what he says. And in Genesis 7:12, it says, "And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." The rain started. You can go back and read that whole thing. We're not going to read the whole thing about the ark, but we're talking about the days of Noah and what happened. But I guarantee you, there's a reason why it said God closed the door. Because Noah was just looking at all them people out there, millions of people that are all going to die because they wouldn't listen to God's word. They wouldn't obey. They wouldn't do it God's way. They had their own way. And I don't think Noah could even get himself to the point where he could just say, "That's it. Tough on y'all." But God had a plan. God was patient, but he performs what he says. You know, Noah was ready. Noah knew what was going to happen when it was all said and done. Him and his other seven people were with them. They were saved. They're the only people that were saved from the rains that came in the flood. Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 24, he tells us in that verse, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So if we're living in the days of Noah, and Jesus says, just like those days, that's what these days are going to be like. What's the comparison here? Well, Jesus promised that he's coming back. And Jesus cannot lie. Jesus will come back and he will take us home. Jesus promised that this world was going to get destroyed. We see that in Revelation 21. This world is going to get destroyed again. But Jesus promised that he's going to save every person that comes to him. If we'll come to Jesus his way, the right way, the only way, we'll be saved from the destruction. We'll be saved. We'll have victory over death, hell, and sin. We'll have victory again in our life that we never had before because Jesus promised that this is coming, but this is your salvation. He's the only one that can say, "I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. There's only one way. Jesus is our ark, and we have to come to him to be saved from destruction and hell. Jesus promised in the last days. Jesus prepares in the last day. You know, Jesus prepared us for the work that needed to be done. He prepared a way for people to get saved. He prepared a way on the cross that he could have salvation given to all mankind. Noah followed the commands of God, and we as his people always need to remain with God and follow his commands. He has commanded us, he's prepared his people and telling us that what we need to do before that destruction comes is preach the truth to people. Tell people the truth. There's millions of people out there that don't know Jesus, that don't know the way to salvation. They think they're going to be okay and the floods are going to come, destruction is going to come, and they're going to perish. Where would they spend eternity? God made preparations and told us we are the ones that go out to tell them the truth, just like Noah did. We tell them the truth so they can realize that they have a way out. God has made those preparations, and he's given us the preaching to do it. In our preaching, the Bible tells us we are to warn people, but we're also, again, just like Noah did, we have a work to perform. In these last days of Noah, before Jesus comes, he promised, "I'm coming back." We believe him. We know he's coming back. We don't know when. It's not time to quit the work. It's the time to move on with the work. We continue on, hammer and hair, nail after nail, bang after bang. Just keep moving for God. Keep working for God. Keep doing it for God because we know he is coming back one day and the work is going to cease. But until then, we are preparing. We are doing the preaching. We're working and we're warning. But you know what? Just like in the days of Noah, Jesus is patient as well. Man, when Jesus was on the earth, when you look at Acts chapter 1, he came many times back after he was risen again and spoke to his disciples and the people. And a lot of people saw him. It says over 500 people saw him. And one day he was there with them. He was speaking with them, telling them that, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to have power, and you're going to go out and do what? Preach the gospel. Tell people the truth through all nations. So this is what you're going to do until I come back. And then he ascended up to heaven. And they're all looking up there and gazing. Where'd he go? I saw him went behind that cloud right there. Where is he? They lost sight of him. They're just staring, just like we all would. And these angels appear and said, what you looking at? This same Jesus that you see leaving you is coming back. He's coming back in like manner. The Bible tells you he's going to come in with the clouds. Every eye's going to see him. Everybody's going to know it's Jesus. He is coming back. It's a promise he gave us. And we have to realize that God is more patient than we are. You know, we look back at the days of Noah and you think, well, that was, how bad were people that God had to destroy the whole world? It was bad. It was so bad, the Bible tells us that, and I'm not quoting it completely, but it tells us that every thought, every imagination in the heart was evil. Everything they thought about, everything they wanted to do, everything they said, everything was just wicked and evil and against God. You thought Walmart was bad. Ain't nothing. Walmart's like heaven compared to what they're having. They turned their back completely on God and his plan. They knew who he was. They turned their back completely on God and his plan, everything his word said. They weren't going to make sacrifices. They weren't going to do what they're supposed to do. They weren't going to follow God's plan or leadership. They turned their back, and everything they thought about was just wicked thoughts. Nothing good came out of their mind or their heart. To the point it was so bad that God said, that's enough. You know, if we're living in those days, we wouldn't be as patient as God. We would have said, oh, it's over now. That's it. Just hit the button. Let's kill everybody. We've had it. But God's more patient than we are. But, you know, God's still coming back, and it's still going to get destroyed, and this world's going to start all over again. And only those written in the book of life are going to be saved. Only those in the ark are going to be saved. What's it take for us to get in the ark? Heart change. Change in our heart. We have to realize that what we're doing here and what we're going through and what we're trying to accomplish in our life is nothing. God has a plan. It's right over there. And we have to decide to go that way toward God. We have to decide to make that decision. And then when we get there, we step on the ark by faith. We haven't seen rain. We don't know what rain looks like. Never heard of it. But God says he's going to send rain and it's going to destroy everybody. What do we got to do? Step out by faith. It's the same thing we do today. We tell people there's no way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Well, that's pretty narrow. Yeah, that's it. It's God's plan, not mine. God's patient, but he's not going to wait forever. His destruction is coming. The time of end is coming. God has a plan to save every person. The Bible tells us he's not slack concerning his promise, but he wants everybody to repent. He wants all people to come to repentance to the Lord. He wants every person to be saved. He doesn't want to lose one soul, but he's not going to force you on the ark. He'll make the ark. He'll provide the ark. He'll send the ark. You'll see it. People will talk about it. They'll preach about it. They'll warn about it. You'll know everything there is to know about it. But you still have to make that decision to go on the ark. That's where people fall short. Well, I don't think it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says. And in the days of Noah, or like the days of Jesus. It says, but in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When Jesus comes back, he's going to be patient. He already has been, but he's going to come back. He's going to perform what he said he was going to do. The people did not heed the warning in the days of Noah. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 38 through 39 tell us the same thing. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People are not going to heed to the warnings of this gospel, of the preaching, of the teaching. They're going to see the rains. They're going to see everything come to pass, just like God said it was going to come to pass. They're going to see in Revelation where it tells them that the meteorites are going to fall from heaven. One third of the population is going to die. One third of the water is going to turn to blood. The moon is going to turn to blood. They're going to see all these things that are said in their Bible, and they say, oh, wouldn't they repent? Wouldn't they see that? Oh, look, look, it's the same. God's real. That's him. No, they're going to turn their back on God. And it even tells us in Revelation, they're going to mock God. I'm tired of this. Where they're being stung and they're being eaten up and they're being in disease and they don't have a way out. They're going to blame God for what's going on in their life. And this is exactly what he warned them about. Jesus says they're going to be marrying, giving in marriage, eating, drinking, just going on with their life. Just like it was in the days of Noah. The people didn't listen. But what's important is, are we listening? Matthew 24:44 says, therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know he is coming back. We don't know what time, but God doesn't want you to know what time. He wants you to be ready as if it was today. Are we ready to meet God face to face? Matthew 24:44. But he also says in verse 45, there's something else. Are you listening? He says, are you ready to meet God? But then he says in 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Not only are you listening to be ready when Jesus comes back to save your soul, but are you being faithful to God until he comes? This is not the time to quit. This is not the time to stop. Just because we have some stupid people running for a presidency in our country and we don't see hope in America, we still have hope in Jesus Christ. And people need this hope. They need this truth. And the only way they're going to hear it is through us. We got to stay faithful to God until he comes back and brings us home. That's what we got to do. Are we listening to the warnings of God? Are you ready? Are you faithful? Who's blessed today? Verse 46 in that same chapter says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I hope you, just as well as me, am busy about the Father's work when he comes back. I think that's one reason why he doesn't tell us when he's coming back. Because if we knew he was coming back January 27th of 2017, we wouldn't do anything until then. Right. Oh, it's sometime today. We better start getting straightened up. I'm busy, Lord. I'm busy. God knows better than that. He knows our heart. He just wants us to be faithful until he brings us home. Either he's going to come back in the clouds and we're going to see him, we're going to meet him face to face, or we're going to die and we're going to meet him face to face. But either way, God's going to bring us home. We don't know when that's going to be. And the way people drive in San Antonio, that could be today. But we know we need to be ready. Are we ready to meet God? Are we being faithful? Is God going to say to us, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. When Jesus comes back and we're just being faithful to God, oh, what a blessing that's going to be. when we meet him and realize we did our best to be faithful. What a joy. What a joy he's going to have when he sees his servant doing what he asked him to do. That's all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless us and help us this morning. It may be things that God spoke to your heart about. We don't know what it is, but you do. And we want to give you in time or invite you to pray and ask God to help you. We're going to pray in a moment, but you have to ask yourself at least these questions. Number one, if I were to die today, if I were to give up the ghost today, where would I spend eternity? How do I know that I'd be in the arms of Jesus? When the Bible tells us there's only one way, you have to believe. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you got to do is ask him. Call upon him today. If you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven, all you got to do is call upon the Lord, ask him to be saved, and he'll save you. Maybe you need some help with that. We're going to give a time of invitation just a moment, and you can come forward and I can help you. Answer any questions or help you to pray and ask God to save you. Maybe you're here today and you know you're saved, but you got to ask yourself this question. Am I being faithful? God is warning. God has promised what's going to happen. God is telling us, blessed is a servant who I find doing what I asked him to do when I come back. What a joy it's going to be. Are we going to be blessed? Are we ready? Are we listening today? Maybe we got to ask ourselves, Lord, I'm so grateful and thankful for my salvation. I just want to be more faithful. Help me to be faithful in these last days, in the days of Noah. Help me to be faithful, Lord, knowing that the rains are coming. I want to be found doing the work you asked me to do. Whatever the need is, would you just pray and ask him to help you this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us here. Thank you for your blessed gospel. Thank you for the truth that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to be stirred, to make the right choices right now, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. As we pray, if you have a need you want to come to the altar for and come pray for, you come do so. Maybe you're here and you're not sure how you need to ask Christ to be saved. Would you just come forward and ask me? I'll show you. I'll show you in a book. Whatever God has for you to do, would you just have it right now? Let God have his way in your heart. Just pray and ask God to help you.